Welcome to the Messianic Message. I'm Kimberly Rogers Brown.
Father, we praise you and thank you again for commanding us to keep the Sabbath. And we're grateful that you showed us that this is exactly what you expect and that it hasn't been changed to Sunday. It's the seventh day of the week. That is Shabbat. And we thank you, Father. We thank you for allowing us to be here with you. And we ask you to help us to see and hear everything that's needed for each of us individually. We praise you, Father, in the name of Yeshua. Amen.
Amen. Okay, so we're going to start at Numbers 33, verse 1, and go all the way to the end of the chapter, which I think is verse 56. And we'll start with Cheryl, and she'll read 5, and then Brandon will read 5, and so forth around the room.
Okay, verse 1. These are the journeys of the sons of Israel, who went forth out of the land of Egypt with their armies under the hand of Moses and Aaron. And Moses wrote their goings out according to their journeys by the command of Jehovah. And these are their journeys according to their starting places. And they pulled up stakes from Ramses in the first month, and on the 15th day of the first month. On the next day, after the Passover, the sons of Israel went out with a high hand in the sight of all the Egyptians. For the Egyptians buried all their firstborn whom Jehovah had stricken among them. Jehovah also executed judgments upon their gods. And the sons of Israel pulled up stakes from Ramses and pitched in Sukkot.
And they pulled up stakes at Sukkot and pitched in Ephraim, in the edge of the wilderness. And they pulled up stakes from Ephraim and turned again to Pihahiroth, which is in front of Baal Zephon. And they pitched in front of Migdol. And they pulled up stakes from and passed through the middle of the sea into the wilderness, and 3 days' journey in the wilderness of Ahem, and pitched in Marah. And they pulled up stakes from Marah and came to Elim. And in Elim, there were 12 fountains of water and 70 palm trees, and they pitched there. And they pulled up stakes from Elim and pitched by the Red Sea.
And they pulled up stakes from the Red Sea and pitched in the wilderness of Sin. And they pulled up stakes from the wilderness of Sin and pitched in Dokah. And they pulled up stakes from Dokah and pitched in Alush. And they pulled up stakes from Alush and pitched in Rephidim, where there was no water for the people to drink. And they pulled up stakes from Rephidim and pitched in the wilderness of Sinai.
And they pulled up stakes from the wilderness of Sinai and pitched at the graves of Luz. And they pulled up stakes from the graves of Luz and pitched at the Hazeroth. And they pulled up stakes from Hazeroth and pitched in Rithma. And they pulled up stakes from Rithma and pitched at the Rimon Pares. And they pulled up stakes from Rimon Pares and pitched in Libna.
And they pulled up stakes from Libna and pitched in Rasha. And they pulled up stakes from Rasha and pitched in the meeting place. And they pulled up stakes from the meeting place and pitched up in Mount Shafar. And they pulled up stakes from Mount Shafar and pitched in Harada. And they pulled up stakes from Harada and pitched in Makaloth.
Okay, and who's up at the top there?
Elisa.
Yes. And they pulled up stakes from Makaloth and pitched in Tahath. And they pitched up stakes from Tahath and pitched in Tara. And they pulled up stakes from Tara and pitched in Mithka. And they pulled up stakes from Mithka and pitched in Hashmonah. And they pitched up stakes from Hashmonah and pitched at Mosrah.
And who's the next one, Gary?
Gary.
And they departed from Mosrah and pitched in Bene-Jaakan. And they removed from Bene-Jaakan and they camped at Hor-Hag-Gidgad. And they went from Hor-Hag-Gidgad and pitched in Jotbatha. And they removed from Jotbatha and encamped at Ebronha. And they departed from Ebronha and encamped at Ezion-Gabir.
Mark here.
And they removed from Ezion-Gaber and pitched in the wilderness of Zin.
which is Kadesh. And they removed from Kadesh and pitched in Mount Hor, in the edge of the land of Edom. And Aaron the priest went up into the Mount Hor at the commandment of Yahweh and died there, in the 40th year after the children of Israel were come out of the land of Egypt, in the first day of the fifth month. And Aaron was 123 years old when he died in Mount Hor. And King Arad the Canaanite, which dwelt in the south of the land of Canaan, heard of the coming of the children of Israel. Michelle.
They left Mount Hor and camped at Zalmunt. They left Zalmunah and camped at Punan. They left Punan and camped at Oboth. They left Oboth and camped at Ai Abrim on the border of Moab. They left Eam and camped at Dedan Gad.
Next, I can't see the names.
Yeah.
Thank you. And they pulled up stakes from Dibon Gad and pitched in Alom Diblathim. And they pulled up stakes from Alom Diblathim and pitched in the mountains of Abrim before Nebo. And they pulled up stakes from the mountains of Abrim and pitched in the plains of Moab by Jordan at Jericho. And they pitched by Jordan from the house of deserts to the meadow of Acacias in the plains of Moab. Yes. And 50. And Jehovah spoke to Moshe in the plains of Moab beside Jordan at Jericho, saying.
Sarah, finish it up.
Remember, you're muted.
I'm sorry, I was muted. Sorry. Okay. Speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, when you have passed over Jordan into the land of Canaan, then you shall drive out all those who live in the land from before you and destroy all their carved images and destroy all their molded images and pluck down their high places. And you shall possess the land and live in it, for I have given the land to you to possess it. And you shall divide the land by lot, by your families, and you shall give the more inheritance to the many, to the few you shall give the less inheritance. Wherever lot falls out on them, according to the tribes of your fathers, you shall inherit. But if you will not drive out the people from the land from before you, then it will be those of them whom you let remain shall be goads in your eyes and thorns in your sides, and they shall trouble you in the land in which you live, and it shall be as I thought to do to them, so I shall do to you.
All right, thank you, everybody. So I'm going to open this up for comments. Go ahead.
42 children, child in scripture, or a kid, child, spiritually immature, which could reflect back to the church, still sucking on the teeth.
Yes.
Drinking milk.
Yes.
Not understanding the Bible. Scoffing at the people that says, no, no rapture. Tribulation. Tribulation started. Mark of the beast. Man, you're crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. I didn't even think about that. The immaturity. Go ahead, Brandon.
One of the 42 stops was called Tahat. The one you said was depression or down. Mm-hmm. That's what it means in Arabic. Tahat means down.
Oh.
So I'm always finding Arabic words inside the Hebrew words, and you know I bring it up. The name for China is Sin, or Sina. Mm-hmm. So, and who were the Canaanites, the Sinanites, and they admit that that's who they are. There's books on this, too, if you want to guys want to go online and look up about the Chinese. They know they're from here. 42 stops. We wander around for 42 months. Where, we don't know. Probably in Jordan, though, not back in Egypt. Pretty sure it's up this side, so we have to like get some particular, because that's an interesting point you brought up. We don't know what. So maybe we could look at like what are the possibilities. We talked about something in our private group about Russia, Iran, 42 months, two bears. Oh, it was that Russia Today. Was it Russia Time? Russia Today, RT. They said Lavrentyev. Is that his name? Lavrentyev, Russian foreign minister for defense.
Not Lavrentyev?
Lavrentyev, yeah. He told, in that article, he told Jerusalem to stop poking the Russian bear.
Oh, yeah.
He literally said Russian bear in the article. He said that. And what is poking a Russian bear? Because Israel, Jerusalem needs to stop poking the Russian bear. That's the name of the news article. Because Israel is going after Iran. Iran is the other bear.
Right.
So they're thumping on Iran up there in Syria and Russia. The other bears are saying, you better quit. They're not going to quit. And Yahoo just put out stuff this weekend. We ain't going to stop.
It's not going to happen. So we are on the edge of Elijah to Elisha, and I'd like how you put it better about the mantles. We have our own mantle. This brings me back to Ephraim and Manasseh. Who was the double portion kid? Which one was it?
Ephraim.
Ephraim. Who was Ephraim?
The son of Joseph.
Okay, but who is Ephraim in the grand scheme of things in the macro picture? Who all these tribes, people, Christians or who else?
Well, probably mostly the house of Israel, but Jews are in there too.
Right. Okay.
Christians.
Okay, Christians. But where? Who? Where?
The West.
America.
Oh,
America.
Thank you. Okay, who's taking care of everything? Americans.
Yes, and they're also leading the whole
world. We're leading the whole world the wrong way. So here we have America as the double portion, and England as the double portion, the British Empire as the Ephraim. Yeah. Leading the way in idiocy, one, wokeism, two, taking care of stuff on a global level. Most of us in this room are Americans. I'm lying, we're Americans, so we have a responsibility somehow, some way, I don't understand, to be Elisha with this double portion to take care of people coming to the wilderness. We're trying to take care of ourselves, you know, but there's something about this pattern I'm seeing right now.
Well, the thing about taking care of people in the wilderness, what we're here to do in the future, Yahweh provided for Elijah so he could provide for the people. See, that's how it works. What we need in the moment, Yahweh will provide that for us. We don't need to worry about that. We've been provided for, all of us in this room have been provided for since we got here.
Amen.
And we have been given abundance.
Amen.
Since we got here. I tell this story all the time, so everybody else in this room, plug your ears if you don't want to hear it. But look, I came over with two suitcases and a carry-on. I now have two apartments full of furniture and a husband. And I like the husband better than the apartment. But what you were saying, Brandon, about the Sino people, I learned this when in the 1990s when I worked at the Showboat Hotel in Las Vegas. And one of my friends was from South Korea, and her name was Kim. She was a music professor. She had been at the university, had been a music professor, and this woman was now reduced to being a housekeeper.
Mm-hmm.
But she came to Las Vegas probably to work, but like most people that go to Las Vegas, they end up not working in the music business. It's this long diatribe I could go into on that. But anyway, she was working and we became friends, and we were talking about the Chinese people and their origins, and she said, it's not China, it's Sino. I didn't know until I started studying the scriptures. In fact, this year I got put together, oh, wait a minute. The Chinese people are the descendants of Canaan. Where did they go? The Israelites did not kill all the Canaanites, and they went north into Lebanon and into some other, northern parts of the Middle East. But they also went to the Far East, to China. And so that's the enemy. Why does China want to get their nose in Israel? They've got the Haifa port. You know, China owns that Haifa port. They built it. They own it. Whatever is imported into Israel comes through that port. And by the way, in the year 2020, Israel's imports from China went up 28%. There's a big increase in Chinese imports into Israel. Why does China have an interest? I mean, it just seems like, they've got all that land over there. What difference does it make to them what happens in Israel? Oh, a lot. The same people who want to kill Jacob's people, the Edomites, are in cahoots with the Canaanites who want to kill Shem's people, who are Jacobites. You see how that all fits together? If you go back to the beginning, Esau wants to kill Jacob, Canaan wants to kill Jacob. You get it? That's why we're going to have two two enemies coming together, the two Russian bears, and they're going to be funded by the Chinese Red Dragon.
Dragon, that's the name of the book.
Two bears?
We can make it up right now. Two bears and a dragon. That's just the new title.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's it. I'm done. Any other comments?
Excuse me, I have to get on mute. Kimberly, what was the 42 representative of, the 42 children?
The 42 months. Okay. 42, yeah.
We forgot to say out loud in public here, the 42 months and the 42 kids, it all represents the second Exodus.
Yes.
The Great Tribulation is also the second Exodus.
Yes.
But we can't find that exact term in Scripture.
That's. Thank you, Brandon. Anybody else before we move on to Isaiah? Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, since we mentioned Ephraim is all 12 tribes, just to get a scriptural reference, Ezekiel 37, verse 16. And you, son of man, take a stick and write on it for Judah and for his companions, the sons of Israel. And take another stick and write on it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and all the house of Israel, his companions. All the house of Israel is always 12 tribes. This is saying Ephraim has all the house of Israel. Which is true because Babylonian captivity, the Jews were scattered to Babylon and beyond. And even in the book of Acts, you read about the Jews living in Rome, telling us that Ephraim, meaning scattered, the scattered ones outside of the land, includes the house of Judah.
Yes. Verse 16 also, though, tells us that all 12 tribes are present with Judah.
Yes.
So after the kingdom split, eventually the way they scattered and they moved around, and then over the last 2,900 years, they've intermarried with each other and they've moved around the world with each other. They've gotten scattered in with each other. Some of them are Christians. Some of them are Jews.
Except for one difference. The house of Judah insists on the old covenant. So the curses was not lifted by Yeshua yet, because they don't believe him. Where the house of Ephraim mostly consists out of Christians, including Messianic Judaism, because they believe in Jesus and Yeshua. And in that case, Yeshua lifted the curses. That's what Paul is trying to explain.
Yes.
One covenant is done away with. Actually, it ended because it was broken. And the other one is, well, we're waiting for the fulfillment of it during the marriage supper of the Lamb. We're walking in a promise of covenant again, like they did Abraham's descendant walk in a promise of a covenant that was sealed at Mount Sinai.
Yes.
Good, bro.
Okay. That's a very good explanation. Okay, Isaiah 11 and verse 16, and then who was next? Sherry, you were next, right?
Yes. Possibly, I'm not sure.
Next, 7:16 to 12:6, 7 verses.
And there shall be a highway for the remnant of his people, and those left from Assyria. Oh, my computer's doing something funny. I can't see any more than that.
You have to listen.
Can you see it now?
There we go. Those left from Assyria, and it was to Israel in the day that he came up out of the land of Egypt. And in that day you shall say, O Yahweh, I will praise you, though you were angry with me. Turn away your anger, and you shall comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation, and I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. And with joy you shall dwell water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day you shall say, praise Jehovah. Call on his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing to Jehovah, for he has done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, O dweller of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in your midst.
I just realized in verse 2, they sang at the Red Sea, he is my strength and my song. This is another reference that helps us to understand that this is related to the greater Exodus, the second time that people will be gathered to this wilderness so that we can go across like Joshua and take the land and kill everybody in there that doesn't belong there.
Thank you. Can I piggyback on that?
Yes.
You're in my head. I like that sometimes.
Wow. Yes, that's exactly right. I was just reading to my friend Bob, if you wouldn't mind going back one passage here. I found it's interesting because it says, it's talking about Yeshua. Okay, so then Yeshua shows up, lift up a banner for the nations, and gather the outcasts of Israel where? All over the world. He got together the scattered ones of Judah from the four corners of the earth.
Where are you all being? Oh, up in
Israel. So then Ephraim and Judah start working together, Christians and, quote, Jews or Muslims, whoever these people are, these two groups start working together.
Well, that's because they're already united, and the Lord has poured out his spirit on the house of Israel and the house of Judah, which unites them at the end of the Gog-Magog war. That's what that's talking about.
Okay. So, almost. And then they fly on the shoulders of the Philistines to the west, the spoil of the sons of the east together, lay their hand on Edom and Moab. The sons of Ammon shall obey them. So Philistines, Palestinians, Gazans, and people on the east side of the river are going to be obeying the people who have trusted in Yeshua, who Yeshua has appointed as his people to be with him in Jerusalem and the kingdom. And Yahweh shall utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea. And the same thing over Egypt. So, I mean, if I was from this area and I believed in Yeshua and I just was oppressed all the time and had a lot of bad stuff happen to me, I'd be happy about this passage to know that, you know, my faith is not in vain. You know, even though nobody's listening to me and listen to all this other stuff floating around in the air, right? This is going to work out.
You know, it's interesting that I hadn't thought about that. The Philistines to the west, that word there is Palestina. Or Palestine, and there's, you know, people that say, well, they didn't exist before. Yes, they did. It's the same word. But those ancient Philistines, Palestine, were in Philistine. They were over against the coastline. They were in the east of Israel. These Palestine are in the west. Where? West Bank. I just got that. Thank you, Brandon. That was good.
And Gaza is right too, but West Bank.
Yes. And they're in Gaza too. But I'm just saying, the Philistines were never to the west. In the future, they're going to be to the west. And the west of Israel is the West Bank, right? Button up against the Jordan border.
If you want to go back to the next chapter, 12. Yeah. Okay. That was it. Just you, because you said that. And that's what people, I don't know how to say this. It's obviously all about Yeshua. The greatest threat first to Lucifer, I'm not bragging, you guys. I'm just telling you the truth, okay? Because I know Kimberly, people said stuff to her. She's mentioned that people have said stuff to me. And it's something we all have to watch for. The more our knowledge grows is pride, because knowledge puffs up, but love edifies if we help each other in love. Not that knowledge is wrong, but knowledge will give you a big head and you think you're the bomb and you get beat down in a cage because you thought you knew your opponent, you knew everything, and you get whooped. So you got to know how to apply it. Yeshua is obviously the greatest threat to Lucifer. That's why he tried to contaminate the DNA through the Nephilim. That's why he tried to stop him from being born. He did the whole thing with Moses and killed the babies in the water, and here it's killing the babies, right? We got that. He wants to kill Yeshua. No. Don't let it happen. It's too late. Revelation 12, that boy was born from that woman Israel and has been caught to the throne of God. He can't be taken down now. He's our general. He's our king. He's unstoppable. He's indestructible. But and he has armies of angels. But interestingly enough, you hit what it's about for us here. You know, a lot of people that know you've told me I'm wrong or I don't know what I'm talking about. But I know because Yahweh has sealed it away from me. He revealed to me basically my whole life when I was a very, very small child and I lived it, and then he sealed it away. And so it comes back in pieces, and like it just creates havoc in my life, the enemy attacking me, trying to figure out stuff, and I'm trying to figure out stuff, and I don't know. I know that I know, and I know that I know because it was shown to me, but I don't know. So I'm still ignorant, and I get a pass on some things because it's not until things happen in the moment, he gives me a dream, or someone's like, oh, that's this and that, and that's why I can see all this stuff and the patterns, and life is like a video game. Because I ran through this. I don't know how else to tell you guys. But the second greatest threat to Lucifer is everybody listening to the sound of my voice.
Yeah, the woman.
It's you.
It's the woman.
You are the woman. If you can hear me, you are the resistance. Stop being what you think you are and be who you are. Stop. I'm just a housewife, or I'm 80 years old, or whatever. You got to have to woman up, man up, train up, read your Bible, pray, fast, eat protein, do push-ups, whatever it is you got to do to get into the wilderness, to get ready for hardship and see alien UFOs flying around straight from hell, to see coronavirus, to see war, to see all the stuff you were programmed by the movies to prepare you for it, not go into complete freaking shock and snap and wig out, but to get a hold of yourself. I'm talking to me. We've all got to do this to get over here, to get ready for this, because we are that remnant. The people that come to Jordan, that woman that's protected for the 42 months, this is the saints that are mentioned in Daniel, that Satan wants to wear your rear end out. He wants to wear us out. That's what they do. They make us tired. They don't let us sleep. They attack us when we're sleeping. There's not a bigger coward that attacks you when you're sleeping. And that's what they attack. What? Okay, I'm not going to go get... But that's who we are. We are that threat. I am that threat. And I haven't really realized that or thought about it. You are that. And you can look at me like, oh, no. I'll lean back, but it's a fact, Jack. I mean, why else would they, during the feasts of Yahuwah, when we're having a prayer meeting, send a guy with a kippah out of his body to come spy on us using MKUltra techniques and remote viewing and astral travel to see what we're doing? We're just sitting here having a prayer meeting. But they're going to come bother people while they're sleeping. They want to hack your server and hack your computer because there's something to all this. They want you to take these shots. They don't want you to come over here. You guys get your crap together and get over here. Hurry up. It's only going to get worse. Okay? And stop going, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. You need to do it. It is not going to get any better. It's going to get worse. And you're going to just get the pressure. We're going from Elijah to Elisha. What's it going to take for you to move? How bad does it have to be for you to move? Well, I got to do this. I got to do that. No, you don't. I have to leave everything behind. And some of you who are going to hear this stuff, probably everything's falling apart in your life and don't know why it's all falling apart. This is why, because he's trying to get you somewhere to save your life. You got to ask yourself, why is he closing all these doors? And why am I hearing this stuff that I'm not sure about? You know, and I know what I'm talking about because I had to go through all this. It's been just absolutely crazy. And I'm not perfect, and I want to hit things, and I like to knock a couple people out. You know, we really got to get ready for this because it is coming. We are that army. There is an angelic army, but we are the remnant of that people, where he's going to use us just like this lady said, Kimberly Rogers Brown, and we will be joining with Yeshua to take the land back. Are you going to be a part of this or not? You need to prove. Don't just pray about it. Pray about it and do it.
Go ahead, Sherry. Was it Sherry?
Yes.
Thank you. Could you call me once a day, please?
Could call her once a day.
Motivation.
Okay, Natter.
Okay, I hear from.
Make that two calls.
Go ahead, Natter.
I hear from Alex Erickson's general Akam. And in the days, it will be more against God Armageddon. Okay? But not the same that we talk right now. Arab will join Eden. Muslims, they will join Christians against the Jewish. It's called the war against the Jewish, the Armageddon. But I know this is a false prophet for them. Because they say Muslim, he will join the Christian and they will beat the Jewish. After that, the Muslim... that Jesus came and he will broke the cross and he will kill the pig. What happens? Like the same that Brandon and Eunice Kimberly talk about it. And even I know this is the same good situation. But they teach all these false prophets to their kids to make them soldiers too. This is the point that I must tell you on.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate that. I just want to point out to everybody that the Elijah mantle vision appeared just like 3 maybe to 5 days before the Jews announced the green mark on February 21st, 2021. So that timing is critical, see? So, and I want to just give you an update. The green mark is continuing to spread in Israel, but now it's going out around the world in New York City and the country of Cyprus. I expect other nations will join with a vaccine passport, the same kind of thing. No going here, no buying that, no job. And I had in Beast Watch News this week about no jab, no Hajj. You know, you can't, if you're a Muslim and you have no vaccination passport, you're not going to be able to go and do your religious duty in Mecca. So they're tying this all to your buying and selling and even to making it a religious requirement in Islam for both Sunnis and Shias. So, you know, this thing is the mark of the beast because it's you have to have that thing that poked you in the right arm or in the right side. You got to have that thing, and you got to have the certificate or the green mark, the vaccine passport, to prove that you've been poked.
See, that's why you guys need to leave now, because this is under development. It's under development. It's not there yet. It is going there. You've got to move while you can move, and because then you won't be able to. That's the whole point of what she's trying to say, and that's Bible. It's going through a total lockdown because the Jews are going to lock it eventually, take over all of Jerusalem and lock it down. And if you don't think that's not going to happen where you are, you've got the other thing coming.
Go ahead, Rick.
That's right. I saw a report last week about in the States, the airline industry is talking about by summer, you'll be required to show proof that you had vaccination to get on a plane. That can be reached, looked online very easily. So I would not waste time.
Yep.
Well, and we've not ever had anything that was intended for everyone globally.
Oh, yeah. That's the other thing.
Nothing.
That is true.
Nothing. This is the first thing
right.
ever.
Yep. Exactly.
A one world government.
Actually, I'm going to disagree with you on that, Charles, because we had it in the time of Nebuchadnezzar. Everyone in the then known world that empire controlled had to bow down to the Nebuchadnezzar image, those who were Babylonians and those who were Jews.
So it was the known world.
Yes.
But it is a one world government working already.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Excuse me. Yes, thank you. And the vaccination, as we're talking about, and I'm hearing, I believe it's Brandon that was talking about, you know, just come over here. if I have full understanding, okay, so when you get to where you're at in Aqaba, are they not going to make it mandatory there as well, the vaccination?
Mia, we don't know the answer to that. We have no way of knowing how the Lord is going to protect us or help us escape that. And it may come as a shock to those who believe they come over here and they're totally free of having any troubles like that. There's a couple places, I think, in the scripture where I've even talked to people here about this and said, oh, yeah, they're going to persecute us here. Somehow the Lord will protect us. Because we are his people.
That I normally say it's a lot closer to run to the safe places from Aqaba than it is from America.
Correct. Thank you for that. But at the same time, too, if I can say, Scripture does say, right, that there will be some that will be here there will be some that will not, Father's not calling there. I'm not trying to go against it. I'm just saying, is that correct scripturally? There's some that will not be called because he's going to use them here. Is that correct?
He said that there is a place prepared for the woman. The people who are in this room and those of you online who believe that you are being called here should know that you're coming here to prepare for the woman. That's all the people worldwide who come here in the half of the tribulation period. Some people are not called here. But I would dare to say that if you're in this room, especially here in this one, in Aqaba, and possibly online. If you're online, then you may have, you'll have more of a chance of being called by Yahweh to come and help prepare for this woman who's coming than somebody who doesn't know what's happening. So that's between you and the Father. The purpose of people not being called to come at this time is for two reasons. One, Yahweh needs a bunch of martyrs. He needs people to call out from under the altar and say, hey, when's enough enough? And he also needs enough people to be able to gather so he can do a thing called the ingathering. So there are some who come to prepare the way. Oh, by the way, that is an Elijah ministry, John the Baptist wearing the mantle of Elijah. That's calling and preparing the way for the woman and her husband who's coming, Yeshua. But you may not have that calling on your life. That's between you and Yahweh. Go ahead, Brandon.
Yeah, so you look at the different categories of people. We'll do this in like rings, okay? So where is the middle of the world? It's here, right? So you'll have local people here that are going to receive Yeshua and his spirit, and they're going to run into people like us, and they're going to start obeying the Torah, because we all are all realizing now the reason we were kicked out of this land and why there isn't Islam and the Christianity and the Judaism is because we didn't really believe in Yeshua the way we were supposed to, and we never really followed, returned to the Torah after faith in him like we were supposed to. And we can blame wherever we want to lay blame, but it doesn't matter now. We have to just do it. We can be mad about it. And, oh, this happened to me and I inherited life. Okay, yes. But right now we need to act. You know, we're going to move on this. So you've got people here. Yahweh's doing the work here in the land. He's calling individuals, especially in the war-torn areas in Syria. He's appearing to people a lot. There's a lot of people getting born again in Iraq and Syria. There's revivals happening. There's a return to Torah following amongst the believers in Judea proper, amongst the Jews, where they're really living in Yeshua and following Torah. It's mostly kids, though. Punk kids, teenage kids. You're going to see a lot of that. Where the disenfranchised and the people on the street and then the broken, you know, they're the wounded. You hear this kind of stuff at church. You've heard these kind of sermons. You know, he comes for those that are broken and wounded, and he's wounded, and he... Because you're right. You know, there's got to be more than this. There's got to be more than religion. There's got to be more than just what we're seeing here. Going to an office and dying. You know, and you retire and then what? You die. It's like, come on. So he's doing a move here. He's waking up people here. He's waking the youth up here for sure. And some of the older folks for sure. As you get away from this area, you just look at what's going on in those places. It's going to give you some clues as you move outwardly. So... there's going to be people here who are the woman. There's going to be people coming from the four corners of the earth, people coming from the nations that are called by Abraham's name, sheep nations. This is in Romans, nations that are named after him. Okay, that's who he's calling. They're going to come here. They're the woman, all right? And before the woman even comes, there's people that prepare for the woman. So we are a part of that woman already, but we're also here before she's here. So it's like both. Like we're like stem cells or something. I don't know. But, so we're here. And we are her, and we're coming together, and we're telling y'all, so you guys will get here, because you're probably part of it too, that woman. Now, when Lucifer makes his move through the king of the north and releases the Nephilim army that's under the street in Jerusalem, okay, it's there, by the way, the first people that he goes for is us, the woman that's already in the land. That's the first attack. This is right out of the Bible. If you don't know what I'm talking about, go back and read the book again. Read Revelation, Daniel, all this stuff. I'm just giving you the oral story. It's the first group he hits, and he hits hard, and that's what we're here for. Because all the people that are going to flee, that are going to join us from the land, and this is going to be an international coalition. There are going to be other militaries. It's not just going to be random civilians only. It's going to be all kinds of people, anything you can think of, you know, because Russia and Israel are going to be fighting. America's going to be fighting. There's going to be war breaking out here. It's going to be all kinds of militaries, all kinds of people running all over the place. Yahweh's calling people. They're going to join the woman. And then that's going to be more difficult over time during that election time for people to get to join the woman. It will get harder for you. If it's easy now, it'll be harder later. That's what we're telling you now, not later. Stop telling you to wait for your 401k to write. Not going to happen. So after you move away from the woman, you've got the martyrs, okay? And that's a lot of people that don't come here. I don't know if it's a matter of faith or not. Like, I don't think I'm the woman, so I'm not going to go. Well, I'm not a Jew, or I'm not an Israelite, so I don't need to go be the Torah, so I don't need to go to Petra, because I'm going to get raptured. Is it that kind of thinking? I don't know. That's how I thought. And then I got here, and I was like, you don't know who you are, and you don't know anything. Like, wow. So that's going to happen, too. People are not going to move because they don't believe who they are. They don't believe in who Yahweh is and who they actually are. And then you're going to have people getting on the bandwagon right at the last minute. So Jesus is real, all this stuff. If you're not already here when the tribulation starts, he's going to attack us here first and hit us hard, but we're going to survive. We're going to make it. Because the group of people here are the nucleus for the millennium, for the reestablishment of civilization as we know it. Okay? It's not going to be so much of all the destroyed crap out there like Mad Max. Then you've got people who are going to get the message, you're going to start keeping Torah and believing in Yeshua out there. You're going to die because you're going to have to take your stand and be a martyr for the Torah and for Yeshua. That is what is going to happen. It is written, you will die. If you're here, you will not die. More than likely, though you could get killed, but you will die for sure out there. Third group, and I know somebody, one person, that there will be survivors amongst the martyrs in the nations. And I know a guy by the last name of Wilkinson, who's a friend of mine, lives on the West Coast. He had a dream, and his dream was Terminator-like helicopters all over NorCal, and everything had been completely burned down. I don't know if you guys know much about Northern California, but if you know, it's been a lot of fires. There was fires since I left that area, and it's just getting burned to a crisp even now. Like, there's a lot of burned-out structure. There's a lot of burned-out forest, and the Agenda 2030 and all that has to do with all that stuff, the energy directed weapons, blah, blah, blah. But he had a dream that everything was nuked, toast, it was gone, and he survived with two other people from walking from Auburn back down to Sacramento. It was an 8-hour dream, and the dream never stopped, and it was real time. It wasn't just like a dream and I woke up. It was like he was in the future. And I know what that's like. That's what's happened too. And when he gets near Citrus Heights, one of those AI Terminator helicopter things goes over, and some Jewish people come out of the house and say, come in here, come in here. And he said, I don't know how I knew they were Jews, but they were Jews. People with me, we weren't, but we were together, and we're hiding in this burned out house from these machines and this thing's running around. And then the sky splits open, and he said, hey guys, look, Jesus is coming into the east, southeast. The sky was splitting and rolling back, and the clouds were piling up and lightning, and it was like the sky itself had a big rift in it, and it was just opening up. And like everything you know was like this interdimensional portal. It was splitting, and here they came. It came right in, and then he woke up. So there will be survivors out there who will be gathered as those four-corner people to be brought back. But if you run your odds on it, if you just use your noggin, okay, do some basic math and you think about this. I'm sorry I'm talking so much.
Yeah.
Think about it. Some of you listening to me are like, I don't know. Listen, I was a gambling man, and you'll win more blackjack than anything. You just got to play it right. It's a 51% odds. The scripture gives you 100% odds if you read it. If you know what it says, it tells you what to do. Be part of the woman here now that you're getting the Elijah warning. Don't wait for the Elijah time. But that's what people are going to do. They're going to wait, and they wait longer and longer, and it gets worse and worse. But then you're going to end up being a martyr. If you're not a martyr, I don't know what your odds are, then you'll be one of those survivors that are regathered. But do the math. Think through the process. What are the odds that you're going to get murdered? You're going to die, more than likely, if you don't get here. Don't bank on, I'm going to survive and then he'll gather me. No, don't.
Okay, so that was good, Brandon, but I want to just, you know, just reiterate what I was saying. In warrior terms, if we think of ourselves as warrior bride, we're warrior bride here. We are forward scouts. Forward scouts face great danger and they can die. But by the time of this tribulation, 7 years is over, 90% of the world's people will have died. 90%. If you do the numbers, you know, you go through Revelation and you figure it out. 10% survive. So your odds are not that good staying where you are. But this is not about gambling. This is about what has Yahweh told you. And it's not about whether he's, you know, you think he said, well, you've got a family to take care of. No, because he said, if you're not willing to leave your family and follow me, you're not worthy of me. So that's not the criteria. The criteria is, what did he tell you? If he said, come over here, then you better get here soon. If he has not called you here, then you just wait for him to give you your orders.
Which, if you call, you're going to die. So think about it, pray about it, make the move. And I'm not into gambling anymore. I'm just telling you. It's a sure bet with Yeshua. It's already been written. There's nothing to ask about. There's no, well, Yahweh didn't, the Holy Spirit didn't come to me and tell me. Why did he tell me that? Why do you tell Kimberly that? Why do you tell other people to do it, but not you? That's a good question. And I've had people say that to me. Well, when God tells me to go to Israel, I didn't tell you to go to Israel, number one. I never said that to anybody. Jerusalem comes to your mind, you got to go to the wilderness. It is written. It's written.
Right, you have a written invitation.
You have a written Bible.
Come
you believe it or not.
People.
It starts there. The Bible is the final authority in Christianity.
That's it.
The dreams and the visions and the speaking in languages and tongues and casting out demons, that's all writing, baby. Okay? The fundamentals are in the faith, are in the book. And if you want to see the rest of the stuff, you're going to have to get down to back there into your fundamentals and your brass tacks. What does it say? We do what it says. It's pragmatic and it's applicable. So I don't even know why I'm on this tangent today. Like, well, I'm talking about this because most of you know that, but it reminds me of when I was training in hand-to-hand combat or basketball or whatever. You have basics, you know, and this is basic stuff.
Okay. Anybody else? Before we go on to Ephesians.
We've got Cherry. Go ahead, Cherry.
I just wanted to tell him I know why he's on that tangent, so.
Okay.
Yeah, I think one thing just to add to Brendan is the enemy out there, Hasatan, he will put fear on his enemy, and that's those that love Yahweh. He will show them things to make them fearful. Don't look at it. Look only at what Yahweh has showed you in Scripture. Now, it does say in Scripture where to come. This is the greater Israel. This is Israel. Okay? Anyway, don't let fear get in your way.
Anybody else before we move on to Ephesians?
Yes, me. I found an interesting verse, Isaiah 6:6. For I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. We need to study the knowledge of God. We need to learn more about it. We need to study our Bible. He wants that more than sacrifices, which is quite a big deal, since sacrifices change somewhat after the book of Romans. He still wants the knowledge more than sacrifice. Yes, three.
Just to tie everything together, a lot of this stuff sounds scary, and like everybody's after fear and all that. But in the end, we win.
Amen.
No matter where we're at, no matter what happens to us, it says that from this point on, all those who die in Yeshua, it's like they're sleeping. So we die and we wake up in his kingdom. We win anyways.
Amen.
But regardless if we get to the end in the bodily form and we get through the millennial in the bodily form, we're going to be changed to be like him, and we're going to live with him forever. So it doesn't matter about if we are called here or there or wherever. It's where he has you at today. What do you do with today? Are you doing what he called you to do today? If you're not doing what he tells you to do today, then going here or going wherever, it doesn't matter. If you're not obeying him today, then it doesn't matter. Because if you wait and say, well, maybe he didn't call me right now to there. Maybe not next year or the year. We're not guaranteed that. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. Never mind. Today, we're going to live what we know today. It says that many times in Scripture. It's today that we have to make the important step. Today, we have to make our decision based on what he said, not what we want, but what he said. And I say this all the time. It doesn't matter what I think. It matters what he says and what he thinks. That's all that matters. And regardless if we're fearful or not, it doesn't change what he thinks about us. He knows how we are. And he knows that we're afraid. Because he says over and over and over again, we had the blessings yesterday. 90% of it is fear not. Do not be afraid. He doesn't call us to be in fear. The enemy wants us in fear. The enemy drowns us in fear every single day, every single minute. And when we're sleeping and when we're awake, it's all about fear. Fear-based decisions are poor. It has to be, we have confidence in him based on what he's done in our lives already. What he's done, what he's written in the scriptures, what he has written in his word and shown us over and over again. It's about, do you trust me? He said that in the wilderness to the children of Israel, God's word coming out. Do you trust me? They said, no, we don't trust you. And so they didn't get in the land. So that's why, because they fear that they were going to die in battle. What happened? They died anyways.
Right.
They didn't get in the land. So we have to have confidence that he has called us in the calling that we are today. Live that today. When we talk to people, live in that confidence that Yahweh called us to talk to that person. Don't be afraid of them. What can they do to you? We win.
Go ahead, Elisa.
No, it's Mark.
Oh, Mark, go ahead.
Great word, Rick. That's what I had to say. Great word.
Okay, let's head over to Ephesians chapter 6.
One thing to add, just remember, all of us here in this room and online, that his word all over the place, it does show, you know, the beginning, the end is in the beginning, and it talks about this part of the world. I'm talking about all of Israel and Jordan. They were one simultaneously. Here where we are is the greater Israel. This is Israel. So you're called, he has called you to Israel. Well, that is here. We're in it. I don't know how, Nader, you think, and Bob, but just remember, everyone in this room, we're on our way to the Israel proper, which is where Jerusalem is. We're on our way there. And we have someone over here in the white. She's on her way to Israel. She's been called to Israel, but she's here now. All of us are on our way there. But I mean, this is Israel.
Actually, I believe that the sacred city or the sacred place is Jordan. How you say it? You told me that, right? From Basra to south to Wadi Musa.
Wadi Musa, all the way to Karaka. Not Karaka, but before you get to Wadi Zara. A safe place, yeah.
Okay, let's go over to Ephesians chapter 6. Start at verse 10. Hannah, you read 10 to 15, and Rick, you finish it up. It goes to 18.
Find the beast on board, and then the strength of his name, of his might. Put on the whole army of God, that armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the world's rulers of the darkness of this age, and against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having the utility belt of truth buckled around your waist, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having fitted your feet with the preparation of good news, peace.
Above all, having taken up the shield of belief, with which you shall have power to quench all the burning arrows of the wicked one. Take also the helmet of deliverance and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of Elohim. Praying at all times with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching in all perseverance and supplication for all the set apart ones. Wow.
That's the same message as Isaiah 12. Mm-hmm.
That's what Elisha preaches, right, Elisha?
Mark,
amen.
It's unmuted. Mark, you got something?
Yeah,
Yeah, and it actually continues on into 19 and 20, but 19 is particularly relevant, even though it's Paul saying to pray for him. He says, and pray for me that utterance may be given me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. And I think NIV says something like, and pray for me that every time I open my mouth, I may proclaim the mystery of the gospel fearlessly as I should. And I think that's also part of the armor of God, is boldness and courage in speaking the truth and proclaiming the mystery of the gospel. Yeah, and then he goes on to say, hey, I'm an ambassador in bonds. I'm in prison because of this, but still pray for me that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. There's something about that courage. There's something about loving not our own lives even unto death. And that's a part of spiritual warfare. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they loved not their own lives even unto death. You know, he who seeks to save his life must lose it. He who loses his life for my sake and for the kingdom will save their lives. Oh, Michelle's wanting to speak. I'll let her speak. She wants me to interpret. Okay. Go ahead, Michelle. Yeah, the spread of the gospel, the expansion of the kingdom, that has to be married in and synthesized with where we're going for safety or for whatever.
Elisa, you're next.
Okay, I just wanted to say I'm reading mine from the scriptures. It says 19 and 20. Also for me that a word might be given to me, the opening of my mouth, to be bold in making known the secret of the good news for which I am an envoy in chains, that in it I might speak bold as I should speak. After I put on my Psalms 91 at night, I always invite the Ruach to come and minister to me as I sleep, and I always, always wake up singing praise music. And that's spiritual warfare because he's got a work for us to do where we're at, and that's it. And that's what that means. It's a spiritual battles going on all the time, and we have to stay prayed up, especially in the word, because that's where our peace and our boldness is going to come from, to be able to do what he has for us to do.
Yeah, so, Elisa, you're right on a micro level, on an individual level. That's correct. But we also want to look at the macro level, what's the big picture? What is the mystery of the gospel? What is the point of spiritual warfare? Why do spiritual warfare? What is it? When I get into that, we know it's against Lucifer, right? So it's the devil. What is he fighting for? What is Lucifer? What does the dragon want? What's he trying to do? Who is he doing it to? Why? See, that's why this place matters and coming here matters. As much as we might want to brush it off, and I'm not going to back off on this point with you guys at all, that you need to come, because this is part of the mystery of the gospel. The mystery of the gospel is Yahweh's calling a remnant of people from the nations, from all over the world, to send that good news of Yeshua HaMashiach, not just Jesus the Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, first to those who have the bloodline of Abraham that were scattered all over the face of the earth, so that they could receive the Holy Spirit of God, come back into covenant with Yahweh, like Adam had that original spirit of Yahweh, know God, without having to be just beat in your head, know God, because that covenant is not on the inside, it's that promise we're walking in, that these people would be regathered at the end of days and become a nation that's born today, from all nations, reformulated, because the house of Ephraim, Israel's next house of Judah, are being reformulated. So that mystery, that gospel is first to those people like Mark Engel or Michael Gallada or, you know, random people, that it's to that people first. And then after that, you know, according to the Great Commission, it's to everyone else. As remember, this place is the center and it moves out in rings. It moves out in weights, okay, these actions. So over time, that gospel has gone out all over the world. It's reached Korea, South Korea. To reach people who, even though they have no DNA of Abraham possibly, yet they've been adopted into this family. They're our family now. They're our aunts and our uncles and our sisters and our brothers. And they're gonna inherit the land with us. And hopefully they'll make things like bulgogi from beef in the millennium, and I'll eat a whole bunch of it because I love Korean beef dishes. I do. But that's what I'm saying. There's first this adoption, spiritual adoption through the mystery of the gospel. We'll become the people of Yahweh again by his spirit. Those of us who are from the 12 tribes. And then to the rest of the world, hey, join us. This is where Islam and Christianity and Judaism has failed. Join us.
come be a part of our family. We don't even know that we're family, let alone we want to invite. What are we inviting people to? Especially in Christianity. What are we, come to church. What are we inviting them to? We don't even know what we're inviting. Okay, you have Jesus in there. Okay, good luck. Bye. You know, and then you're flapping around like, I don't know what I'm doing. That's what it is. This mystery of the gospel is so important that Paul's talking about. It's who we are. That we are the lost house of Israel, regardless of whether we have any DNA or not. But it's through the DNA and to those without that we would come home to Yeshua. We would come home to the land. That's the myth. That's the utterance. That's where Paul went out, right? Am I right? Yes, no, maybe. I'm crazy. Anybody? Amen?
Yeah.
Okay, go and say anything. So when the gospel was to go out to you guys in California or Texas or wherever, the whole point of it was to bring you back here. It wasn't just for you to die and then get your new body and then come back here, because you could do that if you want. It's your, quote, choice or your calling. But you could also, you also have the option, right, of coming here and living through this thing and being part of the order of Melchizedek, you know, in a different way, you know. But it's to bring you home. It's to bring you back here. It's not for you to just die where you're at and go to heaven. This is the whole point of the mystery of the gospel. We didn't understand it. There's a mystery of the gospel and a mystery of lawlessness. And these things are both happening at the same time. The mystery of lawlessness is occurring with the Nephilim and the DNA contamination and Lucifer taking the world over and trying to wreck us, kill us, who I'm talking to, me, you, us, so that there would be no Israel bloodline, there would be no 12 tribes, and there would be nobody to be adopted. China couldn't, people from, I don't know, northern Russia couldn't get into this. They didn't take out Yeshua, so they're going after us, because it's our job as ambassadors of Christ. What's the point of preaching the gospel? Why would I go knock on a door and say, excuse me, sir, do you know if you die tonight, you'd go to heaven? I'd like anybody taking a good old-fashioned King James Bible and show you how you could know if you died, God would receive you into his glorious kingdom. What was that all about? I'm telling you what it was all about. It wasn't just so you could get your retirement going on and die and get to go to heaven. We're in the place now for what that means. That gospel presentation has to do with Yahweh bringing you home, you know. So even though I don't really believe in free will as strongly as people think I do, I'm presenting this message because whoever gets it, and it has to be said, you know, because that's what Paul was doing. He was telling people to come home. That's what he was doing. He wasn't telling them to just, Jesus doesn't save us so we can just stay where we're at, right? You know, he's doing, there's a process, he's moving us. Thank you.
Thank you, Brandon.
Nobody ever preached this stuff at church. I feel like I'm like a New Testament preacher when I'm saying this. You know, they never talk about any of this stuff.
I know. Does anybody else have any questions or comments?
I do.
Okay, go ahead.
This is a daily walk right now that I'm on and being used here mightily. And like I told Cheryl, when it's time to go, no matter what the stipulations are, if we're to go there and when we're ready to go there, nothing's going to stop it. It's going to be like against all odds. Nothing's going to stop borders or whatever the situation is. But I know for right now, this is where he has me. Plus May 7th, I have to go through that DWI court. Because if I don't show up, then they'll put a warrant out, and I don't want to get stopped at any border for warrants. So I know I'm still here for this reason, but doors are closing rapidly, and the time comes when it's time to go.
Okay, anybody else want to comment before we close? Okay, well, Charles, why don't you pray to dismiss our meeting?
Father, we rejoice in knowing you and knowing as we learn your word and it becomes more part of us, the intricacies of who you are and what you're working from the beginning of time up till now. We pray, as Yeshua taught us, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And forgive us of our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And so, Father, I thank we understand as we see the happenings that time is short. I pray for everyone in the situation that they're in, for them to make a wise and right decision. So, Father, we pray that each day that we do your will in our thoughts, what we think, what we say, and what we do. And we pray these things only because of what Yeshua has done for us. Amen.
This has been Kimberly Rogers Brown from the Messianic Message.com. Thank you for listening.